Good morning, everyone.
Welcome this morning in Jesus' name. Welcome to the church family here and a special welcome to the visitors. We have a number of visitors here today. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Just want to begin this morning with a word here to the home congregation before I get into the message that God laid on my heart. I want to say this, that your prayers and your words of blessing have been very life-giving to us these last weeks. And I just want to say thank you very much. You have given us blessings pertaining to maybe the impact or the things you see in our lives, and you've blessed us in many ways. And I just want you to know that we have no trophy shelf. Only God, our Father, has the trophy shelf. Every trophy we receive goes up on His shelf. I want you to know that. It's all because of Him and the work that He has done. And just want to say thank you. You know, in some of our backgrounds here, ordination time has some similarities to a funeral. Those of you that have those backgrounds understand what I'm saying. It's a time that's a sad time, or a hard, very hard time. And I've been somewhat critical of that in the past, because it's not a sad thing to be in the kingdom of God. It's not a sad thing to be active in the kingdom of heaven, to pour our lives out for the kingdom of God. It's not a sad thing at all. But the thing that we did experience, my wife and I, and took a little bit of that criticalness away, if you want to say it that way. Ordination time, like so many other times in our lives, God does, it is a path of surrender. And we did experience that. And a surrender to maybe ideas, surrendering fears that we didn't even know we had. And when you're in the middle of that, it's not necessarily a what you call glory hallelujah time. But it is exciting. And we are excited. I'm excited to be God's son this morning. I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited to preach the word. Something also that was very sobering to me. And by the way, I'll say as well, happy Father's Day, dads. God bless you for being here. I have a few words in a bit here, but if you're a dad this morning, I hope you understand the fact that the passion of your life, the faith that's a part of your life, your personal purity, all of that, in all of that, there's direct connections between what you are and the spirit of your family. You are a covering, you are a door to your family. Sobering thing to me was, as I was ordained to this place, was to recognize the fact that the passion of my heart, my purity, my connection with God, my faith, does have a direct effect on this congregation. It is true for every one of us here, but even, I believe, more so to a leader of a congregation, an elder. That is very sobering to me. And so I just want to ask you a number. We've heard that there's some of you here that very specifically pray for the elders of this congregation. I thank you for that. And as now I am on that list, I want to give you some specific things to pray for me. And I'm going to go over the list here. This is not an exhaustive list, but if you could, if you have a pen and paper, write this down, put it in your phone. I'll try and give it slow enough. As you pray for me, here's some specific prayers. I ask you to pray that I would maintain an open and close communion with my Father. I ask you to pray that I would walk in the Spirit I ask you to pray that the Father would give me discernment to smell pride a long way off. Discernment to know when it's pride that's knocking at my door. I ask you to pray for me that I would maintain personal purity. Body and mind, spirit. I also ask you to pray for my wife and I that we would remain one in spirit. I ask you to pray that I would always treasure repentance and that I would always agree with and stand with truth. The list could go on and on. But beyond that, the Spirit will tell you how to pray. Thank you. For those of you that were at the ordination, you remember Freeman Miller, and he came and preached the message. It was an incredible blessing. Freeman is a friend of mine. He's been an incredible blessing to us over the years and encouragement. A dear brother. After the message, he told me this personally. He said, Tim, he said, It's okay if your first sermon is only 20 minutes long. So I want to say this morning to the moderator, don't get too comfortable. Be ready in season and out of season, all right? Let's, before we go on here, let's just stand together and talk to headquarters. Father, I ask you to glorify your name today. You are the Lord Jehovah. There is no fault found in you. Back there at the burning bush, Father, you ask Moses this question. You ask him, who made man's mouth? And then, Lord, you answered your own question. You said, have not I the Lord? And so, God, I acknowledge this morning that you have made my mouth. And I ask you, Lord, that you would be with my mouth and teach me what I shall say. Pray, Lord, you would sanctify us all here this morning by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is forever settled in heaven. It is a beautiful word of life. And I pray that everyone in this room here this morning would receive a word of life today. An eternal word of life. I ask you to bless this dear congregation. Bless all the visitors that have come this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to them as well and give them a word of life, whatever word you have for them, Father. Lord, we just honor you. We glorify you today. We praise and bless your name, for you alone art worthy. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My message this morning, I have several different parts, but the overall title is A Message to the Bride. Basically what it is, it's part of the passion of my heart. As I studied and started laying some things out, I realized that this could go on and on and on. But just a few things I want to share with you this morning. The passion of my heart, the vision of my heart, and I believe the vision of God's heart for the Church of Jesus Christ. And so it is a message to the bride here this morning. To begin with, I'd like to look just a little bit at who God our Father is. And it's interesting to me, this stood out to me here a couple of weeks ago. And then this morning, I confess to you, Dale, I did not study my lesson today. But an inspiration I got, I didn't realize was in our lesson this morning, and it was a blessing to me, and that is where the Lord said to Moses, now, in Exodus 6, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah. Jehovah means self-existent one. He was proclaiming that to Moses there, he was proclaiming to Israel, I am self-existent. I am the Lord Jehovah. That means that he had no beginning. That means that he will have no end. That means that he does not need oxygen to live. He does not need water to stay hydrated. He does not need food to give him strength. The Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, he needs no committee to help him make decisions. He needs no encouragers. He needs no one to pray for him. He does not need sunshine. He does not need rain. He does not need vitamins in order to stay healthy. He is the Lord Jehovah. He is self-existent. Wow. He did not need Moses in order to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He did not need Philip in order to save the Ethiopian. He does not need you this morning in order to reach the unreached. He does not need a thing. He is Jehovah God, self-existent one. He does not need us this morning, but He wants us. He desires us. He created us in His image. He wants us to work in His kingdom. And He desires to have fellowship with you and I. Oh, it's an incredible, beautiful thing to realize that God does not need me. But He desires to be with me. He desires that I be with Him. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord Jehovah. Hope that inspires your heart this morning. Let's just stand together and let's just sing. We will glorify the King of Kings. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Stand in all of Him. You may be seated. In the last verse of the Old Testament, it says that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children. The hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers. A very beautiful verse, beautiful prophecy. And it's not like I have maybe a message just directed to the fathers here this morning. But I do have a word for you dads. And Jeff gave a beautiful word this morning. Thank you, Jeff, for reminding the Spirit of the Lord. I just was thinking about that if you're a dad here this morning, you have a very, very special calling on your life. And Jeff already mentioned it. 1 in 3 children in America do not have a dad living with them. And so, dads, you have a very special place in the kingdom of God and your family. And who you and I really are impacts how our family, how our children see the Father God. And when you start thinking about that, oh, it can strike fear in your heart sometimes. And you throw up your hands and say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. It's too hard to be a dad. But you know, that's exactly what Satan is after. If he can get you and I, he has a direct influence in forming what our children think about God. What they believe about God. So dads, I just want to say this morning. It's not so much about what you do. It's about who you really are. The only way for you and I to be a representation of who God the Father is to know Him. And freedom comes with that. To know the Father. So I just say this. Dads, today, be pure, be passionate about loving God, speak life to your families, and pray for them very much. Do not underestimate prayer. The battle for your families is a spiritual battle. It's a battle that's going on in the principalities and powers around us. And we must pray. Children, I just want to talk to you, say this word to you. Bless your dads today. You know, the scripture says that a wise son maketh a glad father. So make wise choices. It will make your dad glad. It will bless his heart. Wives, I want to say this to you. Reverence and respect your husbands. I know we say that often, but you really will never understand what that does for him. But I believe you will see the fruit. Maybe not this minute, but in time. God does beautiful things with that. Jeff already said this, I'll say it again. Those of you today who do not have fathers, you are fatherless. God is your Father. He said, I will be a father to the fatherless. You have a special connection to the Father, I guarantee you. But some of the rest of us don't quite understand. But it is a beautiful thing. A message to the bride. Revelation 19, I just want to read a few verses here. This is a scene in heaven. Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And then I would like to read just a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So in Revelation, we see a bride that is ready for the marriage. We see a bride that has been prepared. In Ephesians, it says that Jesus Christ Himself is preparing a bride. He's preparing the church. And so, my mind went to a wedding day. And the young lady is there. She is prepared for the wedding. And just look at her face. The young lady that's expectant, she's pure. She's clean. Her hair is just right. There's no worry or fear etched on her face. Her face is beautiful. She is happy. She is excited. She is expectant. The message from her eyes, that's radiating from her eyes, is adoration and love. She is ready to meet the bridegroom. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. And you know, Jesus Christ, I believe, is looking forward to the day that it speaks of in Revelation where she is ready. So how? It says in Revelation she has made herself ready. In Ephesians it says Jesus is preparing her. So how do we prepare ourselves? And as I thought about that, the beautiful thing about it is most of the work of preparation is done by Jesus Christ Himself. Our part in all this is mostly surrender and just saying, Yes, Lord. So how do we prepare? And this is my burden, passion, as I look at the church here, Charity, but the church at large, that we are preparing for that wonderful day, that beautiful day, when the bride is ready. And so first of all, I believe it's important for a bride to know who she is and whose she is. As born-again believers here this morning, the Scripture says that we are set apart for Him. And you remember the verse, and I said it earlier, where God says, Be ye holy, for I am holy. That means be ye set apart. Holiness does not seek to be odd. Holiness seeks to be like God. That's being set apart. Be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, the bride of Jesus Christ does not hang around the devil's campfire. The church is the bride of God's Son. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man and woman that hath this hope within him, that hath this hope inside of him, and hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. My message to you this morning, my message to us as the bride this morning is keep yourselves pure. Keep your consciences clean. You know how it is. Sometimes we in a situation or find ourselves in a place in life when we say there's just something between us and God. There's not a clear heaven. You know what I'm talking about? The heaven is not clear. I can't seem to connect. Well, I want to tell you this morning, you do not have to put up with that. There can be a clear heaven above every single one of us. There can be a close connection with God, but we must keep our conscience clean. Right along with that, I want to talk, just mention this, to treasure repentance. You know, repentance is a gift from God. People say, sometime I will get right with God. Sometime I will repent. But right now, I want to do my thing. That is not necessarily the truth. Maybe God will give them the gift of repentance sometime. But repentance is a gift. It is not something that you can just drum up. It's not something that you can just do when you good and well feel like it. It is a gift that God gives to man, and it's a beautiful gift. Treasure repentance. Where repentance is treasured, walking in freedom from bondage becomes a way of life. Where repentance is treasured, walking in freedom from bondage is a way of life. All right, I want to read a few verses in Matthew. Jesus told the story of the virgins. I'll just read that story. You can turn to Matthew 25 if you want, or just listen to it. Matthew 25, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they came to buy, the bridegroom came. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The question I have this morning is, and we see in this story that the bride knows her bridegroom. And the bridegroom knows his bride. The question simply is this. Do you know him? Do I know him? And does he know you? It's good to meditate on that. It's a very sobering question. Does he know you? A lot of people say they know him. The question really is, does he know me? Jesus said that the first commandment, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love him with all your mind. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your strength. That is the first and the greatest commandment. That is our part to do. Love him with all of our hearts. He wants to be with us, and he wants us to be in his presence. And so, Church of Jesus Christ, keep your communion sweet with him. Keep that connection strong. I can't emphasize that enough. From there, life flows. You can't help it. Life flows. Do I really know Him? You know, His treasures are endless. His riches are unsearchable. His power is limitless. Do I really know Him? I just want to read a couple short stories here and just let the Spirit of God speak to you about what He wants to tell you out of these stories. But do I really know who He is? Do I really know Him? His riches are unsearchable. Listen to this. In a missions seminary missions class, Herbert Jackson told that as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home and got permission to take some of the children out of class, and he had them push his car off. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this procedure for 2 years. Ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. And before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. It was 1916, and Hattie Green was dead. Hattie's life is a sad demonstration of what it is like to be among the living dead. When Hattie died, her estate was valued at over $100 million. Yet Hattie lived in poverty. She ate cold oatmeal because it costs money to heat it. When her son's leg became infected, Hattie wouldn't get it treated until she could find a clinic that wouldn't charge her. By then, her son's leg had to be amputated. Hattie died arguing over the value of drinking skim milk. She had money to meet her every need, but she chose to live as if it did not exist. It is possible this morning to have a great knowledge of the Scripture. Jesus talked about that. Remember, He said to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." It is possible to have a great knowledge of the Scriptures. It is possible to memorize, to quote the Scriptures. It is possible to have a close relationship with the Scriptures and never have a relationship with the God of the Scriptures. That is very possible. Jesus said, "In them you think you have eternal life, but they are just speaking of Me. In Me, in Jesus Christ, is life. In Him there is abundant life, overflowing life." My passion for the church today is that together we would get a greater understanding of the warfare we are in, that we are engaged in, a fuller understanding of the weapons we have at our disposal, and an understanding of how to use those weapons. And I believe God is and will continue to reveal those things to us. One of that is Satan's job to keep us from experiencing the power that is available to us. He wants to keep the connection loose, brothers and sisters. He really does. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. As God continues to reveal to us how to use the weapons of our warfare, we need that revelation in order to take care of the spots, the blemishes, and the wrinkles. And that is the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ. The washing of the water by the Word, He is bringing to Himself a church that's without blemish, without spot, ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just want to read those verses in Revelation here again before we go to the next passage. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. He said to me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I believe here this morning that deep down in every one of our hearts, whether we know it or not, there is a deep desire to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Many of us have had encounters with Jesus. Many of us are having encounters with Jesus Christ. But that is really what we need, what we desire deep down in an encounter with Jesus Christ, an encounter with the Heavenly Father. So, my encouragement to you all is, let's keep encouraging each other. Let's speak life into each other as we prepare together for the wedding day. I want yet to turn to Ephesians 3, and I want to pray this prayer this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer, a beautiful blessing from the Apostle Paul. Like if we could just stand together and bow our heads here this morning, and I'll just pray this blessing over you, over us here today, over this church. Just get still before the Lord and think about these beautiful words. These words are life. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, my brothers and my sisters, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is a house with no empty rooms. That is a city with no empty houses. That is a cup of coffee in the morning that's full and overflowing and flows over onto the saucer below it. It is a life filled and overflowing with Jesus Christ. I pray that you would know the love of Christ and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, completely and fully occupied. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him, unto You, O Lord, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I ask You, Father, to do these beautiful things in our hearts, to magnify Yourself, to make Yourself known to us in a special way. You are holy, Lord. You are beautiful. And I pray that a fear of Almighty God would come down upon this congregation, to each one of our hearts, from the smallest, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord. That's what I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Why don't we kneel before the Lord, our Maker, our Father in heaven? We thank You for Your matchless love. Love like the world has never seen, except in Jesus, God sending His Son into the world because of our Father's love, because He so loved us. Father, we kneel before You. We bow our hearts before You. We worship and adore You, Lord Jesus. Says to His people, be still and know that I am God. The Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Bring your pains, your hurts to the Lord. God is our healer. Jesus took my sins, my pride, my self-will, my rebellion. Jesus took it upon Himself so that I could be delivered, so I could be healed. And by His stripes, we are healed. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we just do ask in Your worthy name, Lord Jesus, O God, that You would arise over each of our hearts with healing in Your wing, as You have said. Let's just sing to the Lord upon our knees. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord, and I live. You may be seated now. Thank you. A friend of mine that I've known many years was unwanted by his mother, did not know who his father is. He's now 60 plus years old. He still does not know who his daddy is. But he was taken as a little baby. His mother said, I don't want this child. And she thought she knew who the father was. And so relatives said, we will take this little boy as our own. They had no children. And we will raise him. And this little boy grew up to be a man. Got married, had his own family. And there was a relative that treated him with extra kindness. And when this relative passed away, somebody told him today we're going to bury your father. And you know, there's always that thing in your heart. I can't relate to it. I know who my father is. I know who my daddy is. But, you know, wanting to know, is this my daddy? And the speculation was in the community, and tongues were wagging that this is your daddy. And they did a DNA test. And it came back that it wasn't his daddy. That was a bit of a thing to bear for this man that is now some 60 years old. And people were talking to him about it. But I really loved his answer. People would ask him, I won't say his name. People would ask him, well now what are you going to do? You know, the DNA test proves this is not your daddy. Well, he said, my dear adoptive parents showed me who my heavenly father is. And he said, that is the most important. And so he said, I'm satisfied in my heavenly father's love and to know my heavenly father. You know, all of us, there's an ache and a longing in our heart to know our Heavenly Father, even if we know who our daddy is. But once we know our Heavenly Father and we're accepted in His love, oh, the peace, oh, the joy, the belonging. Jesus said, Father, I will that where I am, there they may be also. Hallelujah. So if you're struggling this morning in any area, receive the word of the Lord that we heard today. God loves each of us beyond what we could ever imagine. Thank you, Brother Tim, for sharing the word with us this morning. It was 26 years ago of August when I had the charge to bring a message after I was ordained here at Charity. There's a few people here that still remember that. Not so many. Guess I'm getting older. And that prayer list that you gave, like you said, Brother Tim, you know, it could go on and on, and it does go on and on. And you sense your need now, you will sense it even more in 26 years from now, if the Lord tarries. So, amen. Well, I'm just sort of rambling on here. Maybe you have something God would have you to share. Raise your hand and the ushers will get a microphone to you. And while they're doing that, I just have to brag on my daddy. He's 92 years old and just loving life and loving to talk to people. Still driving his car over to the New Holland sales stable and talking to people. I'm very blessed. Truly the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Hallelujah. There's a hand in the back. The microphone is given to you, Timothy.
I just want to bear testimony today to this message that this is the word of the Lord, and we do well to take heed to ask God, what does He want me to do in preparation for this great wedding day?
Amen. Someone else on the sister's side have the microphone? Not yet. Raise your hands. If you're on the brother's side. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I know this is a day to honor the fathers, but I want to, just this morning as a family, we were just reflecting on how blessed we are, especially myself. I was reflecting on how blessed I am, and to have a relationship with my wife and my children the way I do. And I was just talking about, you know, the odds. You know, I did not choose where I would be born. I did not choose the privileges that I had in my life. But just thinking about the odds of me being here with my wife and my family, and thinking, okay, am I 0.1%? And I decided that's way too low, that it's probably, or too high, however you would say. It's probably less than that. Maybe it's 0.001%. And then Jeff comes up here this morning and talks about 1 in 3 children being born with no known father. And I decided that it's probably, I don't know if it's 1 in 1,000,000 or what it is, but it's a very small number that I am privileged to be. And I'm not just talking about myself. I think pretty much every father, or most of the fathers in this room, could say the same thing, that we have a privilege and a blessing. And this comes from, you know, maybe we've been privileged to have be influenced by other people around us, by the Word of God, and other things that have influenced that. But just to reflect on that and recognize what we have, the preciousness of God's grace on us, and then look around like Brother Jeff, and see the needs around us and the opportunities to share what we have. And I just want to take this time also to honor my family, my wife, first of all. She has, I feel very honored to have a wife like I do and children. She has modeled honor to my family. When I When I come into the house, I'm often greeted by a cheer and a shout. My chair is sometimes occupied when I come in, but when somebody sees me coming, it is quickly emptied and pushed in front of me for me to sit down. And my wife has modeled that to my children, and I want to honor my children as well. My older children have modeled that to the younger and have encouraged that. So I just thank God for the privileges that we have. I was thinking about when Tim was sharing about how God doesn't need us and all the things that He is in Himself. This morning, we came here early to set up the tables for the discipleship classes downstairs. And as we were setting that up, myself and my boys, my youngest is almost 2 years old, and he grabs the end of the table that I was carrying and wanted to be a help. And while that thrilled my heart that he wanted to help, he really did kind of get in my way. I could have done it a lot faster by myself. But that's the way it is with God. He doesn't need us. But, you know, to God, it's more about relationships than it is about efficiency. He longs for that relationship with us. He allows us to help, not because He needs us, but because He wants that relationship with us. He wants to work with us. What a privilege. What a blessing.
Praise God. Amen. I thought of Brother Jeff, what you shared this morning. What a blessing. And not to reflect negatively upon your heritage whatsoever. But you know, Brother Jeff, you have taken that vision and that knowing your Heavenly Father, and now you're raising your family, you know, with a father very present in your children's lives. And you know, that's such a tremendous blessing. You know, God redeems us, and wow, thank you, Jesus. So God bless you, Brother Jeff. That was so good again to see that focus brought clear before us. What are we here for, and why are we doing what we're doing? Amen. Thank you. Brother Lester.
I was very blessed with what Jeff shared this morning. I had an experience in the city here this last week, and I wondered if it was in connection with the children's ministry. We were fixing some cornice on the house, and Timothy and I, and of course every once in a while a vehicle goes by and they have this loud music and everything. And when everything was quiet, this one time I heard this song. I can't think of the title of it, but the words, some of the words we heard was, "No scheme of man shall ever pluck me from his hand." And I just thought, wow, I wonder if the children's ministry has something to do with that. I just wanted to encourage Jeff. So it was a blessing to hear that in the midst of a noisy street.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for sharing. Anybody else have another microphone? All right. We're looking forward to gathering this evening, 6:30, for a communion service, sharing together, remembering our Lord Jesus' suffering and His death, His passion on the cross for us. So 6:30 tonight, a communion and feet washing service. Amen. Okay, someone else has a mic? Yes?
I just wanted to honor my dad as a faithful man. He taught me a lot about God, probably more than anyone else. So I have a poem I want to read in honor of him and all the other faithful men of God who are leaders in their homes. My daddy, my hero. He might not be what you call an eloquently persuasive speaker, a successful mighty millionaire, a powerful charismatic leader with fans swarming round, a master at perfect personality, with charming magnetic gallantry. But who cares? My daddy is a real man. You won't meet anyone else with a love as sacrificial as his. Giving away his riches, time and life, he cares deeply. All you have to do is look into his eyes. Understanding when I can't speak, listening when dozens of questions come dumping out, guiding me carefully always toward the answer, wiping my tears with encouragement, jubilating with me in victories and cloud nines, letting me be adventuresome, backing me up when fear overwhelms, raising me on the only solid foundation in the world, teaching so much by example, merciful and truthful, always just and forgiving, trusting God and fighting battles other people never see. You'll never hear tall tales of his accomplishments, but you'll hear unbelievable true accounts of what his God does. Always building and striving for unity, often ending up the middleman, peacemaker. Gentle, loving, and strong, fighting is part of his life. Taking the easy road isn't. I've seen him tired. I've seen him injured. I've seen him fallen. I've seen him beat. But I've seen him healed. I've seen him get up. I've seen him keep going. I've seen him victoriously soaring again. My daddy understands what life's about. He knows what purpose he's living for. He listens to God's heart because he's a man like David who lived to know God's heart. My daddy has character and reminds me so much of Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reading that poem. Amen. Daddies, it's worth every sacrifice. Amen. God bless you, fathers. Happy Father's Day. Today and every day of your life and my life. Amen. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.